2012, December 26th, day after Christmas. The world did not end. I am so disappointed. Many people are going to say the world did end because Obama was reelected and our precious Mitzi Romney didn't get in because he was going to be our savior. He was going to fix everything. He was going to turn back the clock of the evil Obama. He didn't get elected. The world has not ended. And the world will not be ending anytime soon, sadly. Although the world has ended for some people. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I'm talking about a lot of stuff. I got some short lists. I got some fun stuff. But yeah, meanwhile, welcome. We are here. I am here. Randy is here. She's in the control room. And there is the third possibility. You all know it. You are wrong. And I am right. Oh yeah, motherfuckers. I am the Great One himself. And this is stating the obvious. The weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect. That homes in on and destroys stupid motherfucking status. Left wing, right wing, up wing, down wing, bi wing, tri wing. It doesn't matter what fucking kind of status you are. You're a motherfucking idiot, and I am here to bitch slap the fuck out of you. Why? Because I enjoy it. Because I enjoy explaining to you, statist, why you are some of the stupidest motherfuckers on the goddamn planet Earth. Here we are. Alright, what? It's December 26th, 2012. I keep wanting to say it's 2013. I'm already getting confused about what year it is. I am the Great One himself. This is Stating the Obvious, brought to you by the Cynical Libertarian Society. In the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. You can find us on the internet at cynlibsoc.com, home of Cynical Libertarian Society. You can send us email, hate mail, love mail, naked pictures, whatever the fuck you want to send to us. Bomb threats, death threats. Tell me about how you're going to kill me. I'm getting used to that. I got some of that on YouTube. Idiots. YouTube, idiots. YouTube idiot. All right. Anyway, the email address is God. That's G-O-D, dog spelled backwards. God at cynlibsoc.com. All right. YouTube idiots. So I posted I had a video up that, you know, for one of the Stating the Obvious episodes. I can't think. Oh, and the Stating the Obvious theme song is You Know I'm Right by David Gilmour off his 1984 album About Face. See, look at that, Randy. I am so good. I remembered. I got everything in. The theme song, who we are, website, email, the date. Damn, look at me. See? See? See how awesome I am? That is how awesome I am. All right. So, in the video, I was talking about how your Lord and Savior, Hussein Obama, the current King of the United States, going into his second term, was elected by 19.63% of the population of the United States. And how this, you know, democracy is basically a giant fucking joke. Anyhow, some moron, who I don't remember his username, so I'm not going to make fun of him by name, sadly, and I'm too lazy to go look. This moron posted a comment on the video, and this is exactly what he said, quote, 20% is a lot, unquote. He spelled a lot as one word, A-L-O-T. This is an Obama voter, a person who thinks that 20% is a lot, and this person thinks that a lot is one word. Now let me ask you something. For those of you who think that 20%, we're being generous, we're rounding 19.63% of the voters, up to 20%, just because it's easier to say 20 than 19.63. He is, anyway. I'm not. I say 19.63. He's rounding it up to 20 to try to make it look good. So 20% is a lot. What if I came to you and I said, I want you to give me all of your money, and then I will give you 20% of your money back. Would you say, wow, 20%, that's a lot? What if I came to you and I said, I'm going to take all the American Indians, or the Native Americans, whatever you want to call them, and I'm going to put them on reservations. No, I take that back. I'm going to take the American Indians, and I'm going to exterminate all of them but 20%. And that 20%, I'm going to put on reservations. Would you say, wow, 20%, that's a lot. What if I came to you and I said, I'm going to round up all the Japanese people, and then I'm going to put all of them, except for 20% of them, in concentration camps. Would you say, wow, that's a lot? What if I said, I'm going to get all the Jews, and I'm going to put the Jews in concentration camps, and I'm going to gas and kill and throw into mass unmarked graves all but 20% of them? Would you say, wow, 20%, that's a lot? And would you say a lot as if it was one word, because you're not smart enough to know that it's two words? If the answer to those is yes, you might be a stupid motherfucking left-wing statist. 20% is not a lot. The fact that the King of the United States was put there by the military-industrial complex, and 20% of the fucking citizens of this country, is not a good thing. This is not a wonderful day for democracy. Okay? Whoever you are that left that comment, I'm sorry I don't know your username. I'm sorry that I don't give a shit enough about your existence to fucking flip over to my web browser and go find it and actually look. You are a fucking moron. Fucking drop dead. Now, speaking of dropping dead and speaking of people for whom the world ended, I found out today that yesterday on Christmas Day, an individual that I know, who I have worked with in theater, decided, for whatever reasons, this information at this point is very sketchy, decided to kill himself. Now, as an anarcho-capitalist, I, unlike all the statists out there, I believe that you own your body, and you own yourself, and you can do whatever you want with your body. That means you can have sex for money, you can do drugs, you can not do drugs, you can exercise regularly, you can eat meat, you can be a vegan, you can take medication for your personality if you so choose to do that. You can do anything you want to do with your body, as long as it does not adversely affect other, as long as it does not initiate aggression against other people. So I don't dispute this individual's privilege to exercise ownership of his own body and to commit suicide. I want to say, however, and I've said this before because I've known other people who have tried to commit suicide, and I've talked about one particular individual, and I'm actually going to talk about her again in the future. You know, I don't know why he did it. But people, fucking listen to me. There is nothing in the world, there's nothing in the world that is worth killing yourself, okay? Shit may suck. Don't fucking kill yourself, people. I mean, you can. I'm not saying don't, as in I'm commanding you that you can't do this with your body, all right? I'm saying don't fucking do it, man. There is always a fucking option. There is always, however fucked up shit is, man, there's always some fucking solution that allows you to live to the next day and make things better and keep kicking ass and taking names. Do not fucking kill yourself, all right? There's always another way. Second thing I'm going to say is, when you're engaged to a woman and the woman has a small child, come on, man, don't kill yourself on Christmas. I mean, this is the fucking, what I'm about to say is the sickest shit that I've ever said in my life, because you've heard me make fun of this over and over, but for fuck's sake, man, do it for the children. Don't kill yourself on Christmas Day when your fiancé has a small child. I mean, seriously, I am not trying to be flippant about this. Come on. I mean, how is this child, and I don't know how old this child is, but I'm not talking about a small baby that doesn't, you know, like recognize people and stuff like that. This kid is, I'm thinking somewhere like in the 8 to 10 year old range. Okay, so I mean, this is a cognitive human being who is like aware that this man was going to marry his mother, and he's going to be like aware that this person has vanished, you know, died. I don't know if 8 year olds understand death and shit. I haven't been an 8 year old in a while. Okay, but it's like, come on, man, don't do stuff like that. Kill yourself if you really, really, really feel you must do that. If that's just your only option, I'm not gonna, you know, tell you can't, but come on, man, don't do it. There's ways around this shit. There's ways to deal with problems other than killing yourself and, you know, and eliminating yourself from the world and eliminating all of your possibilities and eliminating all of the good things you could have brought to the world. All right, I'm going to say it. Unless you're a politician, then just fucking kill yourself, because there's nothing you can do to make the world a better fucking place. All right? If you're a fucking piece of shit congressman or Supreme Court or, I don't know, maybe if you're the president of the United States, please fucking kill yourself, because you're scum. You are responsible for the murder of people all around the world, the war on drugs, the war on terror, Guantanamo Bay, you know, all of this shit. So if you're a politician in the federal government, please feel free to fucking off yourself on Christmas Day. Don't wait till Christmas Day next year. Just do it now. But if you're a normal person who actually adds value to the world, don't fucking kill yourself. All right, that's enough of that. I'm done with that. Things that I am done with. Let's talk. All right, let me think a second. What are we going to do? All right, let's hit this. Hold on. We are going to pause a moment, and because we got to bump something over, we got to do a little finagling. Hang on, babies. All right, is that awesome or what? You didn't even notice I was gone. Although I think there was a audio glitch there. We'll go back and check that out. All right, we are now going to play a clip. This is from the Savage Love podcast. For those of you who don't know who Dan Savage is, I've talked about him before. Dan Savage, he is a sex columnist. He does a podcast, Savage Love Podcast. Google for it, you will find it. It is brilliant. I love listening to Dan Savage when it comes to giving advice about sex and relationships and all this other stuff. He is fucking amazing. Seriously, I mean this. You need to go listen to this podcast. When it comes to politics, he has no fucking clue what he's talking about. He is as fucking left-wing statist as you can be. He is an Obama humper, like a motherfucker. And I mean, basically, he's just a piece of shit Democrat. So when it comes to politics, he's a complete moron. But when it comes to sex, relationship, all that other kind of stuff, he is brilliant. He's hilarious. I mean, totally worth. So we're going to play this clip. This is a person calling in to Dan's show, leaving a message, and then Dan responding to it. All right, here we go. Listen to this.
Hey, Dan. I'm wondering, should I play the super crazy card and register as a Republican?
By the way, this is before the presidential election.
And just in the hopes that it splits the vote and ends up with someone even crazier than what's existing out there as a, you know, as a running mate. It's Barack Obama will win. I don't know what to do. I'm really, really scared that someone other than Barack Obama, who, by the way, was the president that I fought under in the Gulf, he's the only commander-in-chief I've ever had. I am not about to fight under a freaking Republican commander-in-chief. And there are a lot of us in the military who think like that.
Here's a little something for the mists of time, just to, you know, put it in your heads that maybe I'm not right about everything. In 2000, I encouraged people in Washington State, and anybody else reading my column, to vote for George Bush in the primaries, because there was no way George Bush could defeat Al Gore in the general election. I thought McCain, maybe in 2000, could have defeated Al Gore in the general election. And look how that turned out. Now, you know, Al Gore did defeat George Bush in the general election. It is true that George Bush got 500,000 fewer votes. It is true that the Republicans...
Remember, the popular votes don't count.
Douchebag operative of the Republican Party, a tool of the right, managed to steal, with the assistance of Lieberman, managed to steal the election in Florida.
Remember, they stole the elections, but every
and
vote counts. Your vote's important.
Of, conservative dominance. Basically, I want to say I was wrong, but I was right. I was right that George Bush couldn't defeat Al Gore in the election, but I was wrong in that I hadn't anticipated the GOP and their ability to steal an election, and then the American public's ability just to take it, just to, like, let them. Anyway, which is to say, don't register as a Republican and vote for Santorum or anybody in the primary in an effort to set up a victory for Obama. I think that you should volunteer for Obama, work for Obama, organize people in the military to... in their civilian clothes, endorse and work for Obama. Because one of the lies promoted by the right is that there's no one out there in the military who supports Obama, that all folks in the military are for the Republicans. And it just ain't true.
Okay, there. So, and in this 2.5 minute clip, whatever it is, there is so much. All right, I mean, let's just... let me start at the end. Dan Savage just... couldn't believe that politicians would cheat. No, there's... I can't believe that politicians would cheat in an election. No, until George Bush, there was never any cheating in any election anywhere. And then he couldn't believe it. How did he put it? Where's my fucking notes? God damn it. Oh, the public's ability to just take it. It's like, which part of the American people are sheep? Have you not noticed? What do you mean he can't believe the American public's ability to take it? The American public takes it up the ass every single fucking day. I mean, Clinton came in and said he was going to let homosexuals serve openly in the military on day one. What does he do? Don't ask, don't tell. Obama took him 4 years to come out and say, well, he is kind of okay with gay marriage, but he's not really going to do anything about it. And I use these just because Dan Savage is a homosexual man, and a lot of the people who contact him are homosexuals and stuff like that. So, you know, Dan Savage's show, he's big on talking about things that affect the homosexual community, which is fine. I'm not ragging on him for that. I mean, that's perfectly great. And again, that's not sarcasm. I mean that. It's good that he puts a lot of stuff out there for homosexual people, you know, things that are affecting them, things he thinks are going to affect them, things they should look out for, times when the government is trying to bend them over and fuck them and not fuck them in the good way. So, but it's like, and the American people just roll over and take this shit. I mean, the American people are rolling over and taking shit all the time. We pay 60% of our, 40 to 60% of your income, depending who you are, in the form of taxes. The American people roll over and take it. We've got a war in Afghanistan, the longest war in our history. People roll over and take it. We have indefinite detention, Patriot Act, TSA touching small children's fucking sex organs in airports while wearing rubber gloves. The American people roll over and take it. Dan Savage, what fucking planet do you live on that you're surprised that the American people, when the government shoves a giant black dildo up their ass with no lubrication, and why are you surprised that they roll over and take it? Oh, that's right, because you're a fucking stupid ass fucking statist. That's why you're surprised. I mean, let's get a fucking grip here, Dano boy. All right, let's see. He couldn't believe politicians will cheat votes. We covered that. Oh, so now, I thought it was funny that this guy who's calling in says, should I go vote for Santorum so that Santorum is the nominee and runs against Obama and Obama wins? First of all, you know, go back and listen to this podcast. I said from day one that Obama's re-election was guaranteed because no. But like the fact that, I mean, who were they scared of? Who were the Obama supporters scared of amongst the Republican nominees that they actually thought was going to beat Obama. If there's anybody who thought Obama was not going to win this election, you're obviously as out of touch with the world as Dan Savage is. I said Obama was going to win. Anybody with any common sense saw Obama was going to win. Obama fucking won. Now, I said this, I'm going to say it again. I do wish Santorum would have been the Republican nominee, because he would have been way more entertaining than Romney. Not because I thought Romney had a chance to win, because he didn't. I mean, I've not run into anybody who was like, well, I'm enthusiastic about voting for Romney. Everybody I know who's going to vote for Romney was going to vote for Romney because he wasn't Obama. You know, nobody was excited about this guy who honestly looks like a creepy pedophile. All right, nobody was excited about him. I wish Santorum would have been the nominee, because that would have really been entertaining with his shit about his war on porn and, you know, God hates fags and all this other shit. It would have been really, really entertaining, and he would have said so many incredibly embarrassing and stupid things that it would have given me material for years to come. The only thing Romney said was that 47% of the people on welfare aren't going to vote for them, so fuck them. And I'm going to talk about it in an upcoming edition, because that's actually true. All right, anyway, then Dan Savage tells this guy that he should go out and work and organize for the Messiah. And this just emphasizes how which part of the politicians are supposed to be working for us. We're not supposed to be working for them. But it's okay. It's okay. You guys are slaves. I understand. The public's ability to take it. We did that. Bush, the election, stole the election. Yeah. We still can't get over this. They still don't understand that the popular vote doesn't fucking count. The electoral votes do. They still don't understand that elections are not determined by people voting. I just did like a 3 fucking part stating the obvious on this. The one where I also bitched about how I'm sick of motherfucking Republicans trying to call themselves libertarians. That reminds me, I am reading right now. I am reading and going to do. I say this all the time. I know. I say, I'm going to do a stating the obvious about blah, 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 and then I never do it. Yes, I know. I know. Guilty as fucking charged. I swear on God, who does not exist because there's not an invisible man who lives in the sky, but I swear on my grandmother's grave. My grandmother is in a grave. I swear on my grandmother's grave, I am going to do a stating the obvious about a book I am reading right now. I am reading Cowards by Glenn Beck. It is amazing how he gets some things so right and some things so wrong. So wrong. Oh my God, he's so wrong. Anyhow, Glenn Beck in this book keeps trying to call himself and people like him libertarians. No, Glenn, no. You are a fucking Republican. Please, you fucking Republicans, will you stop trying to call yourselves libertarians? I understand that just as the word liberal has been a dirty word for a long time, conservative has now become a dirty word. I understand that. And I understand that you need to distance yourself from the word conservative if you want to have a chance of people paying attention to you. Stop using the fucking word libertarian. You are not a libertarian. Fucking, please fucking stop it. Christ, all fucking mighty. Who did get nailed to a fucking tree for walking around saying, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we were just nice to each other for a change? But fuck no, we couldn't have that. All right, anyway, Bush stole the election, blah, blah. All right, now here's the important part, which will segue so beautifully into the next thing I've got coming. I served in the United States military, United States Army. My father was a Marine, served in Vietnam. And it pains me to, you know, this is one of these things that I am ambivalent about. Those of you who are stupid don't actually understand ambivalence. On one hand, I look at the military and I understand that it is aggression, it is force. There's a lot of bad, bad shit going on with the military in the way that we use the military, the fact that the military exists, all the money goes into it, and all this other stuff. So as an anarcho-capitalist, you know, I look at the military-industrial complex, I look at the military, I look at the wars, and I see all the shit that's bad about this. I see all of the violations of the non-aggression principle. At the same time, as a person who is a soldier, who was an infantry soldier in the United States Army, 10th Mountain Division, I have this level of pride in that. Because that was something that I did, something I achieved. I was in there with good people. We did incredible stuff. Did not actually serve in combat, at least not that you know about. You know, and I look at military technology. You know, I've said this before. I look at military technology like the Nimitz-class aircraft destroyer. On one hand, it's like I'm aircraft destroyer. The Nimitz-class aircraft carrier, it carries the aircraft. It doesn't destroy them. You know, and when I look at that and I say, my God, what a giant waste of money. Why do we need this giant machine to sail around the world and murder people? This is fucking bullshit. But on the other hand, I look at that and I say, God damn it. What a fucking awesome piece of technology. You know, it's like I see military technology, and on one side of my brain is going, my God, that's evil. That is going to be used to fucking kill brown people in Afghanistan for doing nothing because they're just existing and they're brown, and Obama likes to fucking kill people. And the other half of my brain looks at that and goes, God damn, that is some fucking awesome hardware technology for killing people. Fuck yes, I got a hard on. All right, anyway, the point is, what I'm about to say fucking pains me, but I'm going to have to fucking say this. The United States military today is the biggest bunch of goddamn pussies that have ever fucking worn a military uniform in the entire history of the planet Earth. Oh, I'm so scared. I'm scared that Obama's not going to win. Obama is the president I served under. Oh, so you'll go to the Gulf War and you'll kill Muslims for your precious fucking filthy ass Hussein Obama fucking Messiah president. You'll kill other people for the Messiah. But if a Republican becomes president, you're not going to serve under a Republican. You're not going to murder other people for a Republican, but you'll murder them for Obama. And yet, those of you who are left-wingers, when I say that you consider Obama to be a god, that you consider him your Messiah, that you consider him to be superior to other people, that he's better than you, say no. Really? So wait, you'll kill for Obama, but you won't kill for Romney. But you don't think Obama's a god? And then you say, well, I'm not going to fight for a Republican. Oh, so you're going to commit treason. So you joined the military. You swore an oath to preserve the Constitution, preserve and defend the Constitution, which, of course, we're not doing. And you swore an oath to obey your superior orders. And the you swore an oath to obey your superior officers, and your ultimate superior officer as a military soldier is the President of the United States. So what you're saying is that you swore an oath, but that swearing of that oath, that has no value. You'll just break your word any fucking time and commit treason. And you wonder why I think you're a scumbag. So you swore an oath to obey your superior officers. Oh, but not if they're Republicans. This guy who called in is a fucking piece of shit. And he is a perfect example of the United States military today with, the, you know, I mean, they're in combat zones with their fucking generators and their air conditioners and their laptop computers and they're on Facebook and shit. I mean, fucking please, you people are the biggest bunch of goddamn fucking pussies. I'll kill people for Obama, but I'm not going to fight under Romney because I'm a giant fucking pusswad. It makes me ashamed to have been a member of the United States military. You know, and all the people, this little fuckwad with his whiny ass little phone call makes me more ashamed to have worn the uniform of the United States Army than all the fucking people the United States Army has killed. Now, speaking of bullshit in the military, as soon as I find my mouse, get over here to the webpage. Hold on, I gotta do something really important. I gotta look at... Nope, no reply on Twitter yet. Okay. Yes, I am tweeting at the same time I'm doing this. All right. Here we go. I'll put a link to this. Marines' new alcohol policy, strictest in the U.S. military. The Marine Corps' new on-duty standard for drinking alcohol is so strict that less than one drink at lunch would trigger a positive and get a warrior in hot water. The Washington Times reported earlier this week that the Corps sent a December 12th message to commanders officially beginning mandatory breath test for all 197,000 Marines twice each year. This will, of course, be a wonderful thing for the corporations that manufacture the breathalyzer devices. Now, the Marines will have to buy a bunch more of them, and these people will make a lot of money. A reading of just 0.01% subjects a Marine to counseling. Counseling. More counselors will have to be hired. They'll have to be paid. You know where the money to pay those counselors comes from? It comes from your taxes. You know why we're doing this? Because there's a bunch of people who went to college and got degrees in fucking counseling and social work and shit like that. And now they can't find a job because in the real world, their skills aren't really valuable or useful for anything, sitting around and talking. And so now we're going to get them jobs. A reading of just 0.01 blood alcohol content will force a Marine, a United States Marine, the few, the proud, the Marines, one of the most elite fighting forces on the fucking planet Earth. If one of them drinks a beer and then blows into a breathalyzer, they will have to go to counseling. A Marine who registers a .04 must be examined by medical staff for fitness for duty. Let me explain something to you people. When I was in the military, this is, I can tell war stories all day long with the best of them. When I was in the army, we had to walk uphill both ways in the snow 25 miles. When I was in the military, we would stay up all night long drinking beer. When I was in the military, this, what I'm about to say, is the honest to God who doesn't exist, swear on my grandmother's grave truth. When I was in the military, I could put down 4 cases of beer by myself. Let me say that again. 4 cases. A case is, for those of you who are challenged, that is 4 6-packs. That's 2 12-packs in a case. I could put down 4 cases of beer by myself in less than a day, all right? When I was in the military, we drank Schaefer's Light beer because it was the cheapest at the PX, and Schaefer's was nasty, but Schaefer's Light was pretty good. It was like $1.97 a 6-pack. We would stay up all night drinking Schaefer's Light beer. We would be walking down. We'd been up all night long drinking. We would be walking down the stairs to go to PT formation. That's physical training, which I'm betting they don't do in the military anymore because everybody just sits on their ass. Going downstairs for PT at 0600 formation, we would swig down the last of our beer and throw the beer can in the trash, get in formation, half-ass drunk. Not fully drunk because we built up a tolerance from drinking so much alcohol. We would then go out and do PT, push-ups, sit-ups, mountain climbers, all this shit. And then when it's time to go for a fucking run, Sergeant Maddie, our platoon sergeant, who did not drink and did not like people who drank, Sergeant Maddie would always go, "Hoo-wah, boys, I smell alcohol. Well, looks like we're doing a 5-mile run today." Because normally we would run 2 miles for PT. We do all our exercises, calisthenics, blah, blah, blah. Then we'd do a 2-mile run. But if Sergeant Maddie smelled alcohol, you were doing a 5-mile run. And we ran 6-minute mile pace. 5 miles, 30 minutes. Or less. Not 5 miles in 30 minutes and 30 seconds. No, fuck no. Because if we went over 30 minutes, you could show up drunk and use. But no. If it took us longer than 30 minutes to run 5 miles, then the real suffering would begin. So we could drink all night long. do push-ups, sit-ups, mountain climbers, jumping jacks, and then go run 5 miles in 30 minutes. We could do this. But now, today, 2012, the fucking Marine Corps. And understand, this is not the Marine. This is what is being done to the Marines. It's not like the Marines are asking for this. I'm pretty sure they're not. I should not say that because I don't really know what's in the mind of every individual in the Marine Corps. The Marines are being told that if you show up with a 0.01 BAC, which you basically get if you like walk past somebody who's drinking a beer and inhale it, you're practically at 0.01. If you show up with a 0.01, you have to go to fucking counseling? We used to do PT so fucking drunk we could barely stand up. And nobody fell out. And that's the other thing. Understand this. Nobody fell out of this 5 mile run. There was no, you didn't, by fall out, I mean, you did, everybody completed 5 miles, 30 minutes or less, in formation. Drunk as hell. Why is our military today comprised, full, to the fucking brim of people that are nothing but pussies? I know what you're saying. Yeah, great one. You wouldn't say that to a Marine Corps member, to a Marine to his face. Find me a motherfucking Marine. What's he gonna do? Fucking beat me up? Pretty much 100% of the people in the Marine Corps today, including most of the women, could kick my ass in unarmed hand-to-hand combat. They're still pussies. They still have to go to counseling if they have a 0.01% fucking BAC. That's pretty fucking pussified. It doesn't matter if you can physically kick my ass. You're still a giant goddamn pussy. Blah, blah, blah. The Navy's blah, blah, blah. Navy, the Army, and the Navy, and the Air Force, they're all going to join in. I'm skimming over this thing. The Marine memo calls a positive test result a reading of 0.01 or greater, which results in automatic screening and treatment as appropriate. Quote, I think it's outrageously low, said Neil Puckett, a defense attorney and retired Marine Corps judge advocate. Quote, guess it's zero tolerance for alcohol just like zero tolerance for drugs, unquote. Quote, no one would be impaired at 0.01 alcohol concentration, said Bruce Goldberg, a University of Florida professor and renowned forensic toxicologist, to the Times. How in the fuck is any 0.01% BAC? I'm asking who, how? How in the fuck? God damn, but it's okay. But it's okay. The military doesn't need to actually use any fucking common sense because it's been taken over by fucking pussies. Especially now that Obama's the president and it's composed of people who call up to Dan Savage and go, Dan, if Obama doesn't win, I'm gonna break my oath and I'm gonna go back on my word and I'm gonna commit treason because I'll kill people for Obama because he's the Messiah. He walks on water. He was born without birth certificate. But this Romney guy, I'm not gonna kill for him because I'm a giant pussy. Alright. Yeah. So here we talk about how the Marine, basically anytime a Marine goes near alcohol, he's gonna be over the limit. And then breathalyzers, blah blah blah. Let's see. And here we talk about how Mr. Goldberg said the industry standard is generally 0.02 for employees, a less strict measurement than the corps. I love how it's spelled corpse and you pronounce it core. That's the first time I've screwed up the pronunciation of core in a long time. Let's see what we got here. Random testing, blah, blah, blah. Breathalyzer will... A core statement said, quote, breathalyzer testing will enable commanders to test 100% of the Marines in their unit in order to take appropriate actions relating to the health and safety of Marines, such as training, education, and referral to substance abuse counseling. Yes, because we wouldn't want these grown adults, these grown men and women who are in superb physical condition. This is the fucking Marine Corps here we're talking about. These grown men and women who are in superb physical condition, who are highly trained, who are weapons of war, who are killing machines, these people who murder other human beings, these people who have incredible amounts of responsibility placed on them, these people who use equipment that is incredibly complex and expensive. They fly jet fighters that cost millions of dollars. They use weapon systems that are cutting-edge technology. But these same people can't be trusted with a fucking six-pack of beer. How fucking insulting is this to a Marine? And why are they just laying there taking it? The Marine Corps did not respond to a question from the Times on why it chose 0.01 as a positive reading requiring corrective action. Whenever you ask somebody a question and they don't respond, it's usually because they don't have a good or intelligent or reasonable answer. That would be my guess. And like I said, they're doing this to create employment opportunities for fucking counselors and what do you call those idiots? I'm having a brain cramp. Social workers. People who went to college to get a degree in social workering. And now they can't find a job. I mean, this is all this is. This is all that's going on here. Coupled with the Messiah. The Messiah is the Commander-in-Chief. Army regulations say an on-duty soldier with 0.05 BAC or more is subject to discipline under the Uniform Code of Military Justice and can receive a less than honorable discharge. See, that was never in effect when I was in the military because there wouldn't have been any of us left. I mean that. There were like, in my entire fucking company, which was about 120, 140 people because it fluctuated, I bet there were like 5 people who did not drink alcohol. God. All right, I'm learning. Armed forces, mandatory drug testing. Yeah. In September, a study requested by the Pentagon, the Institute of Medicine, part of the National Academy of Sciences, concluded drug and alcohol abuse by military personnel constitutes, quote, a public health. Oh, excuse me. I had a beer before this podcast. According to the standards of the Marines, I am impaired right now, and I need counseling. That was the beer I had before. It was a Shiner. It was a prickly pear. It was not that good, actually. All right, anyway. Drug and alcohol abuse by military personnel constitutes, quote, a public health crisis, and, quote, both are detrimental to force readiness and psychological fitness. What's interesting, here's what's not detrimental to psychological fitness in the Marine Corps. Treating them like incompetent idiots. Treating them like people who can kill other human beings, who can be killed by other human beings, but can't drink a fucking beer without having to go to counseling. This is fucking pathetic. Now, let's talk about something else that is pathetic. This is one of these things. I saw this. I read this once. I read this twice. And I said to myself, this cannot. This literally cannot fucking be true. This has got to be a joke. I'm still not convinced that what I am about to read to you is true. I believe it. I totally believe this. This is happening in England. This is from the BBC News. It's from bbc.co.uk. I mean this. If this turns out to be a joke or a hoax or something, I am not going to be surprised. At the same time, where England is right now is where the United States is going to be in 5 to 10 years. I read this once, twice, 3 times a lady, and I'm blown away. I am absolutely fucking blown away. Without further ado, this is perhaps, I'm speechless. Let me just read this. A&E doctors, I don't know what A&E is, by the way. A as in alpha and E echo. A and E doctors are calling for a ban on long pointed kitchen knives to reduce deaths from stabbing. A team from West Middlesex University Hospital said violent crime is on the... Now remember, as I read this, remember, in America, we have the... Wait, what causes violence? Well, guns do. If we just get rid of guns, because guns control people, right? We just had a shooting in a school in Connecticut. Why? Because the guns controlled his mind. Woo-woo-woo. Guns are what make people violent. The reason we have so much violence in America is because of guns. If we just get rid of guns, like all the European countries, there'll be no violence. Because people don't need weapons. People don't need automatic weapons because there's no reason to have an automatic weapon. Nobody needs that. Now, as I read this, keep all of that in mind. A team from West Middlesex University Hospital said violent crime is on the increase, and kitchen knives are used in as many as half of all stabbings. They argue many assaults are committed impulsively, prompted by, wait for it, alcohol and drugs, and a kitchen knife often makes an all too available weapon. The research is published in the British Medical Journal. The researchers said there was no reason for long pointed kitchen knives to be publicly available at all. They consulted 10 top chefs from around the UK and found such knives have little practical value in the kitchen. I'm not making any of this up. I can't make this up. Let's just change the word. The researcher said there was no reason for automatic weapons to be publicly available at all. Where have we heard this before? The researcher said there was no reason for long pointed knives to be publicly available at all. What did the gun grabbers tell us? Well, we're just going to take your automatic weapons. We'll let you have your hunting rifles. Right. They're coming for the knives in England today. They'll be coming for the knives in America in 5 to 10 years. This will be a prediction. It will go on the prediction page. Where's my fucking pencil so I can write that down so I don't forget? Knives prediction page. Okay, let me get back to read. I can't make this up. I can't. I wish I could. I wish I had this much fucking imagination. They consulted 10 top chefs from around the UK and found such knives have little practical value in the kitchen. Hold on, I gotta do something here. Okay. None of the chefs felt such knives were essential, since the point of a short blade was just as useful when a sharp end was needed. The researcher said a short pointed knife may cause substantial superficial wound if used in an assault, but is unlikely to penetrate to inner organs. In contrast, a pointed long blade knife pierces the body like, quote, cutting into a ripe melon, unquote. The use of knives is particularly worrying among adolescents, say the researchers, reporting that 24% of the 16-year-olds have been shown to carry weapons, primarily knives. Hey, England, how's that public education system you got working out for you? How's your fucking parenting skills doing over there? Sounds like just as good as the ones in the United States, which is to say, non-fucking-existent. Okay. The study found links between easy access to domestic knives and violent assault are long established. Let's change that. The study found links between easy access to handguns, or insert automatic weapons, or insert rifles, and violent assault are long established. I'm still speechless. All I can do is keep reading this. I can't even respond to how fucking stupid this is. French laws in the 17th century decreed that the tips of table and street knives be ground smooth. A century later, forks and blunt-ended table knives were introduced in the UK in an effort to reduce injuries during arguments in public eating houses. because the British people were so fucking asshole stupid that they would get in fights in restaurants and kill each other. I don't know. All right. The researchers say legislation to ban the sale of long-pointed knives would be a key step in the fight against violent crime. Quote, the Home Office is looking for ways to reduce knife crime. We suggest that banning the sale of long-pointed knives is a sensible and practical measure that would have this effect. Okay. So let's say that you're in a room, and the person you're in the room with is a fucking statist. And this person's really stupid as shit because they believe that you can eliminate violence by banning guns and knives, okay? So you want to kill this person for being so stupid, but there's not a long, sharp knife in the room, so you're just not going to kill them because you're just not smart enough to, say, use any kind of blunt object to bludgeon them to death or take your hands and fucking strangle them. All right, I know. Thank you, Randy. All right. Government response. Home Office spokesperson says that there were already extensive restrictions in place to control the sale and possession of knives. Quote, the law already prohibits the possession of offensive weapons in a public place, as opposed to non-offensive weapons, and the possession of knives in public without good reason or lawful authority, with the exception of a folding pocket knife with a blade not exceeding 3 inches. Offensive weapons are defined as any weapon designed or adapted to cause injury or intended by the person possessing them to do so. An individual has to demonstrate he has good reason to possess a knife, for example, for fishing or other sporting purposes as part of his profession in a public place. The manufacture, sale, and importation of 17 bladed, pointed, and other offensive weapons have been banned, in addition to flick knives and gravity knives. They've banned 17 different kinds of knives. Like, they're assault knives. They're rapid-fire assault knives. Nobody needs an assault knife. A spokesperson for the Association of Chief Police Officers said ACPO supports any move to reduce the number of knife-related incidents. However, it is important to consider the practicalities of enforcing such changes. Well, we'll just go door to door and search people's homes to see if they have any knives. I mean, England has more fucking cameras watching people. Those people will roll over like fucking sheep because they learned nothing from reading George Orwell's 1984. They learned nothing from reading Huxley's Brave New World. The British people are the biggest fucking sheep on the planet Earth, and the American people are right fucking behind them. Look for it. 5 to 10 years, long kitchen knives will be banned in the United States of America. Prediction. Write it down. I said it. It's right here. Fuck you.